This is Dr. Cassieri. As we continue with lesson number two, we're on tape number one, side two, as we've been beginning our study in the doctrine of salvation. In lesson one, we began an introduction. We looked at an introduction on the doctrine of salvation, and we began to look at one of the first of the eight doctrines concerning salvation, and that was regeneration. We had a definition of regeneration, and we started to look at the need for regeneration, and that's where we're going to pick up, the need for regeneration. We say, why do we have to be regenerated in the first place? Well, every individual on earth has inherited the evil nature that Adam acquired at the fall. Therefore, each person needs another nature that is not evil, but righteous and holy before he can have proper fellowship with a righteous God. Now let's look at some verses of Scripture. First, I want us to turn to Genesis chapter number 8. Genesis chapter number 8 with me. Genesis 8 and verse 21. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. See that? God says, for the imagination of a man's heart is evil from his youth. Again, we inherit an evil nature from Adam. Jeremiah chapter 13. Jeremiah chapter 13. In verse number 23, Jeremiah 13, 23. Can the Ethiopian change his spots? Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopards his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. And of course, the answer is no. The Ethiopian cannot change the color of his skin, or the leopards his spots. And neither can that person that's accustomed or used to doing evil, do good, amen. And again, that's because of the evil nature that each and every one of us inherited from Adam, which he acquired at the fall in the Garden of Eden. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse number 9, tells us about the condition of the heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? All of us have heart trouble spiritually. We have an evil heart by nature, the evil nature that we've inherited from Adam. Matthew, Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. Matthew 13 with me. And we'll look at verses 48 through 42. Matthew 13, verses 48 to 32. Matthew 13, verses 38 to 42. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And of course, here is the parable, Jesus explaining the parables of the tares. Amen. And we see that those that are evil, those that are wicked, amen, are the children of the devil, that have been sown by the devil. And they'll reap everlasting destruction. Looking in Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. In verse number 13. Jesus is speaking. If ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? But the point I want you to see, Jesus says, if ye then being evil. See, he knew that those that he was speaking to were evil by the nature that they inherited, amen, from Adam. Alrighty, let's look at John chapter 3, the Gospel of John with me. Chapter 3. John chapter 3, in verse number 36. We are told that he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and that he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So we see the state of one who has not believed on Christ, who still hasn't received the new nature by believing on Christ, that God's condemnation is on them. His wrath is abiding on them. Amen. We're told in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. This is what man's, the price of man's sin is death. Not only physical death, but more importantly, spiritual death. Amen. For those who do not believe on Christ, we're told, because we know that once a person believes on Christ, his name is written down in the book of life. But those whose names are not written down in the book of life, we read in Revelations 20:15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Why? Because of the evil nature. Amen. Again, we're looking at the need for regeneration. Why each one of us individually needs to be regenerated. Amen. Needs that new birth. Well, this evil nature that we inherit from Adam because of his fall in the Garden of Eden and the sins resulting from it is totally contrary to God. And as a result, brings God's wrath on the individual. We just saw in John chapter 3, verse 36, that he that believeth not on the Son, the wrath of God abideth on him. Also in that same chapter of John, chapter 3, in verse 18, Jesus says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So a person's, as a result of the person's evil nature and his sin resulting from it being counted to God, as a result, he's a condemned sinner on his way to hell, in need of regeneration. Looking in Galatians with me, chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So the Bible tells us that we're under a curse, amen, because of our sins, because of our sin nature, our evil nature, amen. Galatians chapter 4, verse 8. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. See, our nature, our evil nature, does not want to serve God, but wants to serve false gods, lowercase G-O-D-S, amen? That's our evil nature. That's why we need to be regenerated. Also, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 12. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. This is the condition of each and every one of us before we're regenerated. We're without Christ, amen. We're strangers. We can't claim any of the promises of God. We have no hope, amen. That's why each individual needs to be regenerated. Looking in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. See, we're alienated from God because of our sin. It's contrary to God because He's righteous. He hates sin. So that's why each individual, again, needs to be regenerated. Looking in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 5. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. See, again, that evil nature. Concupiscence, lust of concupiscence. Aspect of lusting, amen, in a sexual way. Those who refuse God's gift of regeneration will permanently feel His wrath in the lake of fire. We saw early in Revelations 20:15, those whose names are not written in the book of life, and your name gets written in the book of life by trusting on Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. But those who do not do that, whose names are not written in the book of life, will be literally cast into the lake of fire. Jesus told Nicodemus, a very moral man and a ruler of the Jews, if you thought that anyone would be right with God, you would think it would have been Nicodemus. But we have the account of Jesus speaking to Nicodemus in the Gospel of John chapter 3 in verses 1 to 12. And he tells Nicodemus, eyeball to eyeball, he says, you must be born again. In other words, Nicodemus, you need to be regenerated. See? Why? Even though outwardly Nicodemus seemed to be a very moral man, a very responsible man, a very religious man, but again, because of the evil nature and the sins resulting from it, being totally contrary to God, Nicodemus, along with everyone else, needed to be regenerated. So those are some things under the need for regeneration. The second thing that we want to look at under regeneration is the method. The method of regeneration. Amen? Well, a person becomes regenerated when he hears the gospel, repents, and by faith receives Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. How do we know this? Well, the scriptures tell us. Look, for example, in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Gospel of John, chapter 1, in verses 12 and 13. But as many as received him. Now, the him is referring to Jesus Christ. And it's talking about those who have received Jesus Christ. But as many as received him, as a result of receiving Jesus Christ, what's the result? To them gave he power to become the sons of God. See, a person individually without Christ does not in his own power have the power to become the sons of God. He needs to receive Jesus Christ, and then Christ gives him that power to become a son of God. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So you have to believe on Christ. Amen. Verse 13. Which were born not of the blood, that's a fleshly birth, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So as a result of a person receiving Christ, he is born of God. He is regenerated. Look in Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Titus 3, 5. Bible tells us, not by works of righteousness which we have done. It's telling us how we're saved, how we're regenerated. Not by works of righteousness, amen, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. Again, we're looking at the method of regeneration. A person becomes regenerated when he hears the gospel, repents, and by faith receives Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, After that, ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom, the whom is Jesus Christ, you also trusted. But you cannot trust him until you first hear the word of truth, the gospel. The gospel of your salvation. And whom after that, after you hear the word of the gospel, you hear the gospel preached, amen, in whom also after that ye believed, you hear the gospel, you believe, and ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You hear, for then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You believe what you hear, then the Holy Spirit comes in. You're born again, and you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. You cannot lose your salvation. You can't become unregenerated, amen? Looking in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 23. Being born again. In other words, being regenerated. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. See, that's why we can be regenerated, because we're born again by the word of God, which is incorruptible. Amen? Nothing can corrupt it. It's untouchable, amen. Even though man tries to play with it, amen, change it around, amen, say it means something differently, but the word of God is incorruptible. The true word of God, because those other Bible versions are not the true word of God, amen. They're perversions. King James Bible is the incorruptible word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, amen. Again, we're looking at the method of regeneration. Now, regeneration is a literal birth into God's family, where the believer actually becomes God's child. Amen? That's right. Looking in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter number 8. Romans 8 with me. And verses 14 through 16. Romans 8, 14 through 16. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. And that's another doctrine we'll be covering in our study. Adoption, another doctrine concerning salvation. But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, isn't that a wonderful truth? That regeneration is a literal birth. And God becomes our Father. Amen. And we can cry out to him. Just as we cry out to our earthly father, we can cry out to our heavenly father. Because now we are in his family. And the Holy Spirit that indwells each believer testifies to that. Bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Not through anything that we've done, amen, but by Christ's blood atonement at Calvary, and receiving him as personal Savior, amen, believing on him, believing on what he did at Calvary, his death, burial, and resurrection to save us. 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Again, we're looking at the method of regeneration, and we see that regeneration is a literal birth, a spiritual birth into God's family, where the believer actually becomes God's child. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. See, we as a result of regeneration, we become part of God's family. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. See, don't think it's strange if the world looks at you strangely, saying, who are you? What's this all about, this new birth? He says, they didn't know me, they're not going to know you. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. There again, that title, sons of God. And we gain that title when we become God, part of God's family as a result of regeneration, that literal spiritual birth. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We're even going to look like him. Amen? Why not? He's our father. All of us have a father and mother, and we take some of the characteristics, physical features, amen, of our parents, fathers, our earthly father. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. See, we're begotten. Just like we were physically begat, amen, we're spiritually begotten in the medium of the new birth is the resurrection. That's why the resurrection is so important. That's the medium of the new birth, according to Peter. Now, when a person receives Christ, his spirit, which was dead in Adam, is instantly reborn by the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 3, Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 6, Jesus tells Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. See, as a result of receiving Christ, our spirit, which was dead in Adam, is instantly regenerated or reborn by the Holy Spirit. We're born of the Spirit. It's a spiritual birth. That's why Nicodemus, you know, was scratching his head when Jesus told him, you must be born again, because he was thinking again in the physical realm, saying to himself, how can I be born a second time? How can I, as a man, go back up into my mother's womb? And of course, Jesus was not talking about another physical birth or fleshly birth, but he was talking about the second birth was a spiritual birth, where our dead spirit was reborn or regenerated by the Holy Spirit as a result of receiving Christ. After a person is reborn, amen, after a person's spirit, that which was dead, is made alive by the Holy Spirit, that individual is no longer in Adam, but in Christ. Looking in Romans chapter 8 with me, Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. Beginning in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. See, that new birth or that rebirth put us in Christ. We were in Adam, but now we're in Christ. So we are no longer under God's condemnation because we're in Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. As a result of being in Christ, now we no longer have to, we have a choice now, because we have a new nature, a spiritual nature. Our spirit's been born again. So now we can walk after the Holy Spirit and not have to walk after the flesh. Romans 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life is in Christ Jesus, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, see, the law couldn't make us born again, amen, couldn't regenerate our spirit, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, we cannot in the flesh fulfill the law. Amen. But we now can fulfill the law because we're in Christ. We have that new nature, a righteous nature. Amen. Again, Romans 8, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. See? When you were in Adam, your spirit was dead. All you wanted to do was do the things that pleased the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Amen? But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, because of that new nature, because your spirit has been born again by the Holy Spirit, now you want to do the things according to God in the Spirit, the spiritual things. You now have the mind of Christ. For to be carnally minded is death. Wages of sin is death. That's what the carnal mind causes the individual to do, to sin. But to be spiritually minded is life, eternal life, and peace. Amen. Peace with God. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. See, it's an enemy of God. We're an enemy of God. The flesh, the carnal mind, is an enemy of God. It's enmity against God, counter to God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Your flesh doesn't care about the law, the things of God. It's not going to allow the law to control it, amen? It's going to do what it pleases, amen? Again, Romans 8, verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So anything that you and I do in the flesh, amen, in our old nature, does not please God. The only things that please God are what things that we actually do in the Spirit. Romans 8, verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. See, now we're in the Spirit. We're no longer in the flesh. Or the part of us, amen, that's been born again, our spirit, is now in the Spirit. Before we were regenerated, born again, all we had was the flesh. The flesh dictated everything that you and I did. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of us, Paul said. He's none of us. He's not part of the family of God if he doesn't have the Spirit of Christ in him, if he hasn't been regenerated, if he hasn't been born again, amen? Romans 8, verse 10. And if Christ be in you, The body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. See, our body is judicially been declared dead. The flesh. And the problem with a lot of us is we get up every day and we try to resurrect it, amen, and walk around in it. But no. The spirit is life because of righteousness, because of it's the spirit of Christ, because we have the indwelling Christ in us. Romans 8, verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Spiritual resurrection. Amen. Praise God. The Spirit quickens our spirit. The Holy Spirit quickens our dead spirit. Amen. Again, we're continuing to look at the method of regeneration. Now, as we talk about this birth, spiritual birth, being born again, this birth is as real as a person's physical birth from his parents. Except the nature of it, and you can, we won't go there, but you can read more about it in John chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6. But it's a spiritual birth, amen? But it's just as much a birth as that physical birth. But it's even better, amen? Because now we belong to the greatest family, the family of God. Also, this birth enables the believer now to call upon God as his Father and upon the Lord Jesus Christ as his elder brother. Let's go back to Romans 8 and verse 15. We see, for you have not received the spirit of bondage, again, to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So now we can call upon God as a Father as a result of that new birth. And also we read, verse 17, Romans 8, if children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. We're a joint heir with Christ, amen. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So Christ is like an elder brother now as a result of the new birth. We won't finish out the verses in Romans 8, but again, I encourage you to look at Romans 8, verses 15 through 29. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 4. In verse number 6, Galatians chapter 4, in verse number 6, Galatians 4, 6, because ye are sons, see, because our spirit has been quickened, our spirit has been born again, and now we're in the family of God, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. In verses 10 and following. For it became him for whom all things, and by whom all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Of course, the captain of our salvation is another name for the Lord Jesus Christ. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. See, as a result, what it's saying in Hebrews now is, as a result of that regeneration, that new birth, Christ now is not ashamed to call us his brother or his brethren. Because we saw in Romans chapter 8 that we're now joint heirs of Christ. Amen. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 12. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, will I sing praise unto thee. Christ singing praise because of us, because we're part of his family now. Amen. As we continue to look at some things under the method of regeneration, regeneration also makes the believer a new creature. A new creature. And the reason for that is because the believer has been given another nature in addition to the evil one he was born with. Look in 2 Corinthians with me. 2 Corinthians in chapter number 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And the reason we're a new creature is because now we've been given another nature. Amen. A nature that is right in the eyes of God. A nature that's Christ's own nature that's righteous before God. And that's why things, as a result of regeneration, things in an individual's life should change. Amen. We should see the old things pass away. Amen. The things that we were into that weren't pleasing to God. Be it smoking or drinking, amen, or whatever sin it may be, or some inward sin, amen. But now we have a new nature. Amen. A spiritual nature, a nature that's right with God and is counter to the evil one that we were given or inherited from Adam. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 15. Galatians 6, 15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And of course, we know circumcision was a sign between that he gave to Abraham, amen, as to be a sign of a covenant between nation of Israel and God. And of course it represents the ceremonial law, and what he's saying is it's not the law, amen, that availeth anything. Now the uncircumcision or anything nor uncircumcision, amen. Doesn't matter whether you're circumcised or you're not, amen. What matters is you're a new creature in Christ. All the outward things, the things of the law and so forth and so on, amen, no longer matters. What matters now is that you're in Christ, you're a new creature in Christ, amen. Well, that concludes lesson number 2, tape 1, side 2. And when we begin lesson 3, we'll continue to look at some more items under the method of regeneration. And then we'll also look at the permanence of regeneration. And that we'll look at under lesson 3.